Hey, this is Andy Coffin, president of the Institute for Leadership Excellence Development Incorporated. Thank you for joining us for this special premium edition of the People and Projects podcast. Yo, credibility, it's the foundation of leadership. If you don't have it, if I don't have it, well, you know what? We can't lead. It's as simple as that. I trust you enjoyed the discussion that I had with Jim Kouzes. I know I did a lot. So in this premium episode, I want to highlight some points from the interview about credibility. So first of all, let's start with their definition of leadership. It seems that every one of these guys that I interview, each of the leadership guests, they have some slight variation to the definition. And most of the definitions, I'm actually cool with that because it has some subtle benefits. So let's review what Jim said. Leadership is a relationship between those who willingly follow and those who aspire to lead. So what are some key words in that definition? It's a relationship between those who willingly follow and those who aspire to lead. Well, you know what? A key part of that is relationship, right? I mean, it is personal. It's between individuals. It's not just this amorphous team. And as with all relationships, it has to be nurtured to be valued and to grow and to get better. Also in that definition says willingly follow. You know, that's an interesting way of saying it, isn't it? I mean, it's not just that they follow, but they willingly follow. You ultimately can't force your team to follow you. They have to want to. And then there's the part in that definition, the aspiration to lead. You know, chances are that if you're in a leadership role, you probably aspired to get there. You know, I once made a mistake. I put a guy in a leadership role who didn't really want to lead. He didn't aspire to lead. And in the process, he failed miserably. Leaders need to want to lead people who want to follow. It's a pretty good definition with key components that remind us of what we're signing up for when we're leaders. So what is credibility? I mean, ultimately, they say it comes down to doing what we say we will do. I'm not sure if that's what credibility is, but it's a great way to create it. You know, looking at it conversely, it's difficult to be credible if we don't do what we say we'll do. A CIO once told me and a group of aspiring leaders that one of his biggest lessons was that credibility is currency. If you want to get things done with an organization, to have the currency to get things done, you have to be credible. In his opinion, you develop credibility by delivering on your commitments, which is another way of doing what you'll say you'll do. So here's the question for us. How are we doing compared to what we're saying? Are you known within your organization for hitting your dates, let's say, or staying on budget, or following up with people? How about this? Is your reputation at home as good as it is at work? Whether to your spouse, children, family, or friends, do you do what you say? You know, upon some reflection, I'm actually embarrassed to say there are way too many times that I'll tell my wife that I'll do something and then I don't follow through. Guess what? That's credibility. That's burning some currency. Credibility, I find it's easy to see or not in other people, but my experience is we often don't see ourselves all that clearly. We'd all benefit from looking in the mirror and truly considering, where is it that we've been less faithful in doing what we say we will do? Which brings up an interesting consideration for us. You know, be careful what you say, right? I mean, be careful about the commitments you make. I'm not suggesting that we avoid making any commitments. There's already too much of that in the workplace. But don't just casually agree to something that you can't deliver on. Or if you do make that commitment that cannot be delivered upon, make sure to start managing expectations far earlier than later. I have a rule for any team that I manage. I will not shoot the messenger. Unless it's the night before, then you're dead. My point of that is, I realize that bad things happen in the real world. You know, tell me about them and come with a plan for dealing with them. But if someone holds back information until it's late in the game, we have no option but to have negative impact for our customers. So be careful about winging it with estimates. Be careful about compromising on scope changes. Be careful about holding back information when things aren't going the way that we thought. You know, once you've committed, you owe it to yourself and your credibility to do everything you can to deliver. So commit with intention. You know, do you remember my discussion with Jim about being liked? I'm interested in your thoughts on that. You know, too often we hear teaching that, you know, you can't be a friend with those you lead. There was a recent Manager Tools podcast, and they talked about that. And their point was, you can't be friends, but you can be friendly with them. Now, in typical Manager Tools fashion, I mean, I love these guys, but it took two episodes to flesh that out. Ultimately, here's my take. Remember that quote from Irwin Fetterman. We talked about it in the podcast episode. He's a venture capitalist and former CFO and CEO. Irwin's quote is, he contends that all things being equal, we will work harder and more effectively for people we like. And we like them in direct proportion to how they make us feel. Jim quoted research in our discussion that said if a boss is a friend, the employee is 2.5 times more likely to be engaged. Wow. I find it's often less an issue of whether we're friends or not, because even that can be kind of subjective. Bob Sutton is the author of Good Boss, Bad Boss, and he says it this way. The difference between a good boss and a bad boss often comes down to how people feel after an interaction. So, do you have more energy or less energy after you interact with your boss? Do they build you up or tear you down? I really like Bob's take on that. I recommend that you intentionally work at building strong social bonds with your team. Don't be afraid to make it fun, right? I mean, be the person who adds energy during interactions, not drains it. All this can add up to your credibility in the eyes of your team. Do you recall Jim's references to Winston Churchill? He gave two related quotes. Here's the first one. Part of courage is the ability to stand up and speak. He also followed that up with, and courage is also the ability to sit down and listen. Now, I don't know what the context was for those quotes. You know, I find that some of us too often don't speak up. We assume that if the boss said it so, well, you know, so be it. Now, most of the time in the workplace, we're not being asked to support decisions that are unethical, though that can happen. But there are plenty of times we're being asked to carry the water, so to speak, to support a decision that we don't believe is best. You know what I do? I coach leaders to learn how to speak up, how to influence, even though you don't have the authority. Now, you're not going to win every one of these arguments. Marshall Goldsmith recently recounted a lesson that he learned from Peter Drucker. Every decision is made by the person who has the power to make it. Make peace with that. You know, the point is you aren't always going to have the power to make the decision. But can you influence? Can you shed light on some alternatives? More than I often realize, we have the ability to shape decisions if we take the initiative. But it takes courage. And by the way, it could be that by discussing it, we find out that we didn't have all the facts or a full understanding. It could be that that decision was, in fact, a good one, but it just wasn't obvious until we engaged. So as I mentioned to Jim in the interview, Bob Sutton's advice is wise. Argue like you're right and listen like you're wrong. You know what? Credibility, the book, it's a good read. In many ways, it's a subset of Kuzis and Posner's larger classic, The Leadership Challenge, which they've sold over 2 million copies of and are currently working on the fifth edition of. If you want a good understanding of research-based leadership insights, either book will serve you well. Well, as I move to wrapping up this premium episode, let me invite you to stop by our podcast Facebook page. Check out the show notes for a link to that page. I invite you to like it and then join the discussion. Well, thank you so much for being a premium subscriber to the People and Projects podcast. Please let me know what questions you have, if there's anything I can do to help you lead and deliver. And thank you for joining me for this premium episode of the People and Projects podcast. Have a great week.